mnhowlive.org to download the files. To open the meeting, let us have a moment of quiet meditation, and for those who wish, join us in saying the Serenity Prayer. God, grant me the
serenity
to accept
the things I cannot change,
the courage
to change things I can,
and the wisdom
to know the difference.
Thy will, not mine,
be done.
Amen.
I assume that I'm not alone this evening. But for the record, are there any other compulsive eaters at this meeting other than myself?
You're with you.
Yes, right.
Yeah, all over.
Great, thanks.
We're here.
So please use the meeting's chat function as a virtual We Care book and enter your first name, phone numbers, time available for phone calls, and whether or not you are currently a sponsor in the HOW format. We will then add you to the We Care book that is being circulated in the room. A copy of this list can be sent to you via email after the meeting. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and mutual support, are recovering from compulsive eating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and to carry this message of recovery to those who still suffer. Would someone please read What is HOW?
Yes, What is HOW? HOW is a movement within Overeaters Anonymous whose basic principle is that abstinence is the only means to freedom from compulsive overeating and the beginning of a spiritual life. Where and how did HOW begin? HOW began in Phoenix in 1981 as a means of reviving a group called OA Victorious. Its meeting format is taken from Roseanne's book, I Put My Hand in Yours, and centers around the concept of service. Many of the questions used in HOW sponsoring stem from OA Plus and Westminster groups. The outline of service came from the OA Suffolk County, New York Sponsors Guide. And with that, I pass.
Thank you.
Thanks, Wendy.
Would someone please read the only requirement?
It's a chair or something. I thought the floor actually helps. It's not compressed.
Kelly?
Hi guys, I'm so sorry. I had a family emergency and then I'm just jumping on. Where are we?
We're at the only requirement.
Okay, one second. I hate to do this, but if someone has it open, can they jump in?
No problem.
Heidi, could you mind reading? Thank you.
Yep, just got it. My name is Heidi. I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Heidi.
Hey, Heidi.
There. The only requirement, Overeaters Anonymous respects the autonomy of each OA group. We do suggest, however, that any group that has requirements in addition to the suggested 12 steps and 12 traditions inform its members that these requirements are what that particular group has found effective in working the program and do not represent OA as a whole. The members of this group have found the HOW concept to be effective in working the OA program. The opinions expressed here this evening by those who share are their own and not necessarily those of OA. The Board of Trustees states, we understand the third tradition to mean that individual ways of working one's program should not exclude any compulsive overeater from attendance and participation at OA meetings anywhere, anytime. The only requirement for membership is the desire to stop eating compulsively. Anyone who says he or she is a member is a member. We of Overeaters Anonymous welcome all members with open arms. Thank you.
Thanks, Heidi.
Hi, this is Rena, compulsive overeater.
Hi, Rena.
Hi, Rena, welcome.
Thank you. The HOW concept. The Overeaters Anonymous HOW meetings have been formed to offer the compulsive overeater who accepts the 12 steps and 12 traditions as a program of recovery, a disciplined and structured approach. HOW groups are formed in the belief that our disease is absolute and that only absolute acceptance of the OA program will offer any sustained abstinence to those of us whose compulsion has reached a critical level. Therefore, we accept the 9 tools of the program and the 12 steps and the 12 traditions as necessary for our recovery. In OA HOW, our daily action plan is outlined in the structured use of each of the other tools. Our meetings are dedicated to the concept of remaining honest, open-minded, and willing to listen. This is the HOW of the program. We pray that the collective group conscience and love that these ideals offer us will promote a strong sense of security that will enable us to experience a new unity and wholeness with all those around us, and that the HOW ideals will help us to progress in our program of recovery on a daily basis. To be certain, much of our strength is found in the structure of meetings and in the daily adherence to the program as it is written in our literature. The Tuesday evening meeting also firmly understands that after our recovery has begun through abstinence and the taking of the first 3 steps, our further surrender to the additional steps of recovery offers us a promise of happiness, contentment, and achievement in all areas of our lives. We ensure our continued and sustained abstinence from compulsive overeating by being forever aware that God is doing for us what we have never been able to do for ourselves. May God, as each of us understands him, open our minds and our hearts to the love which is manifested on this meeting. Amen. And I'll pass.
Thank you.
Thanks, Rena.
Thanks, Rena.
Would someone please read reflections for the newcomer?
Go ahead, Pamela.
Okay, thank you. I'm Pamela, compulsive overeater in... Grateful to be here tonight. I just had it.
Hey, Pamela.
Hey,
welcome.
Pamela. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm glad to be here for sure. Okay, reflections for the newcomer. Welcome to OA HOW. We are all so glad that you have decided to become a part of our fellowship. You know that the HOW concept is a discipline program. We believe that the discipline of weighing and measuring, of telephoning your sponsor at a particular time, of attending meetings, and making phone calls all lead to a life based on the universal discipline, which is accord rather than discord, even with many things going on around us. Therefore, if there is a breakdown in any of these areas, the concept is threatened, as is the individual's abstinence. We have found that the discipline must remain as constant for the beginner as for the sponsor. If the newcomer shies away from this life's responsibility, the sponsor may give the newcomer's time slot to someone more committed to recovery. This is not a personal affront, but a matter of necessity. So many who think they should recover, in fact, are not ready. If the newcomer should show lack of commitment, the sponsor may then offer the newcomer assistance in finding a new sponsor. The rationale here is, if the newcomer insists on picking up the food before the phone, then there is a breakdown in the level of communication between the sponsor and the newcomer. Frothy, emotional appeal seldom suffices. Doctor's opinion, Big Book page, Roman numeral 26. Paragraph 2. If a sponsor slips, get a new one. The pitfalls of self-deception cannot be overstressed if you are to recover. Therefore, a sponsor, in all self-honesty, must must release all sponsees to continue his own recovery. A sponsor cannot give what he does not experience. Finally, you must believe that we need each other. All problems that arise can be worked on via the phone or person-to-person contact. Only positive, upbeat recovery belongs at our meetings. A bodily badly burned by alcohol does not recover overnight, nor do twisted thinking and depression vanish in a twinkling. We are convinced that a spiritual mode of living is a most powerful restorative. The family afterwards, Big Book, page 133, paragraph 2. Good luck. Everyone in the fellowship is praying that you find the release from the obsession so many of us have. God bless, and no matter what, keep coming back. We'll always be here for you.
Thank you, Pamela.
Thanks, Pamela.
Thanks, Pamela.
Pleasure.
Would someone please read an excerpt from step 2 of the OA 12 and 12?
Hi, yeah, that's me. I'm Emily. I'm a food addict from Florida, grateful to be here.
Hi, Emily.
Hey, Emily. Welcome.
Hi, everyone. Thank you. Excerpt from step 2 of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous, pages 9 to 11, starting at paragraph 2. When we look with complete honesty at our lives, we see that where eating is concerned, we have extremely irrational. Many of us have done things no sane person would think of doing. We have driven miles in the dead of night to satisfy a craving for food. We have eaten food off of other people's plates We have eaten food that was frozen, burnt, stale, or even dangerously spoiled. We have eaten food off of other people's plates, off the floor, off the ground. We have dug food out of the garbage and eaten it. We have frequently lied about what we have eaten, lied to others because we didn't want to face the truth ourselves. We have stolen food from our friends, family, and employers, as well as from the grocery store. We have also stolen money to buy food. We have eaten beyond the point of being full, beyond the point of being sick of eating. We have continued to overeat, knowing all the while we were disfiguring and maiming our bodies. We have isolated ourselves to eat, damaging our relationships and denying ourselves a full social life. For the sake of our compulsive eating, we have turned ourselves into objects of ridicule and we have destroyed our health. Then, horrified by what we were doing to ourselves with food, we became obsessed with diets. We spent hundreds of dollars on weight loss schemes. We bought all sorts of appetite control drugs. We joined diet clubs and spas. We had ourselves hypnotized and analyzed. We had major surgery on our digestive systems. We had our ears stapled or our jaws wired shut. All of this we did willingly, hoping we could someday have our cake and eat it too. Some of us went from doctor to doctor looking for a cure. The doctors gave us diets, but we had no better success with those than with the other diets we'd been on. The doctors gave us shots and pills. Those worked for a while, but we inevitably lost control and overate again. Many of us tried fasting with and without a doctor's supervision. Usually we lost weight, but as soon as we started eating again, the compulsive eating behavior to purge ourselves with vomiting, laxatives, or excessive exercise. We'd stuff food in our mouths until we were in physical pain, then we'd get rid of it. We damaged our digestive systems and our teeth while we starved our bodies of nutrients needed to live. Those of us who were overweight got plenty of advice from others about how to get to our ideal size, but nothing permanently solved our problem. We found that no matter what we did to ease our turmoil, our compulsive eating eventually returned. Over the long haul, our weight went up and our self-esteem went down. After a while, we became battle-weary and discouraged. Still, we could never accept our powerlessness. The prospect of being obese, sick, and out of control for the rest of our lives led some of us to conclude that life was simply not worth living. Many of us thought about suicide, some of us tried it. Most of us, however, never reached suicidal desperation. Instead, we took comfort in a feeling that everything was all right as long as we got enough to eat. The only trouble was that our As our compulsive eating progressed, it became harder for us to get enough. Instead of bringing comfort, the overeating backfired. The more we ate, the more we suffered, yet we continued to overeat. Our true insanity could be seen in the fact that we kept right on trying to find comfort in excess food long after it began to cause us misery. Thanks, Pat.
Thank you, Emily.
Thanks, Emily.
Would someone please read from chapter 5 of the big book of the book Alcoholics Anonymous, How It Works?
Hey, this is Megan. I can do that.
Thanks.
Page over. Here we go. Chapter 5, How It Works. Rarely have we seen a person fail who has thoroughly followed our path. Those who do not recover are people who cannot or will not completely give themselves to the simple program. Usually men and women who are constitutionally incapable of being honest with themselves. There are such unfortunates. They are not at fault. They seem to have been born that way. They are naturally incapable of grasping and developing a manner of living which demands rigorous honesty. Their chances are less than average. There are those, too, who suffer from grave emotional and mental disorders, but many of them do recover if they have the capacity to be honest. Our stories disclose in a general way what we used to be like, what happened, and what we are like now. If you have decided you want what we have and are willing to go to any length to get it, then you are ready to take certain steps. At some of these, we balked. We thought we could find an easier, softer way, but we could not. With all the earnestness at our command, we beg of you to be fearless and thorough from the very start. Some of us have tried to hold on to our old ideas, and the results were nil until we let go absolutely. Remember that we deal with alcohol, cunning, baffling, powerful. Without help, it is too much for us. But there is one who has all power. That one is God. May you find him now. Half measures availed us nothing. We stood at the turning point. We asked his protection with care and complete abandon. Thanks for letting me be of service. I pass.
Thanks, Megan.
Megan.
Thanks, Megan.
Would someone please read the 12 steps of recovery?
Hi, everyone. It's Maureen, compulsive overeater, and the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. We're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Many of us exclaimed, "What an order! I can't go through with it." Do not be discouraged. No one among us has been able to maintain anything like perfect adherence to these principles. We are not saints. The point is that we are willing to grow along spiritual lines. The principles we have set down are guidelines to progress. We claim spiritual progress rather than spiritual perfection. And this is from the Big Book, Chapter 5, page 60. And with that, I pass.
Thanks, Maureen.
Would someone please read the 12 traditions of the program?
Hi, everyone. My name is Liz A. I'm a grateful compulsive eater and food addict in Ormond Beach, Florida.
Hi, Liz. Hey, welcome.
Hi. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, our common welfare should come first. personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any outside related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you. I pass.
Thanks, Liz.
Thank you, Liz. The tools of recovery. 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous are a program of recovery. Webster's Dictionary defines tool as any person or thing used to get something done. We have many tools of the program which can help us to recover on a daily basis. Tools are essential to get the job done, and they work for us. In order for a tool to work, it must be used.
What?
Oh, no.
I've heard that.
So too, so too with our tools of recovery. I will ask that house sponsors explain how they use a particular tool with a limit of 3 minutes for each tool. Would someone be willing to be the timekeeper?
I'm your timer, Ruth. It's Megan.
Yeah, thank you, Megan. And participants will receive the timing prompts via chat. First, we have abstinence plan of eating.
Hi, my name is Debbie, and I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hey, Debbie, welcome.
Hey, Debbie, welcome.
Debbie.
Hey,
Debbie, welcome.
Plan of eating. A food plan is a commitment to recovery. The how disciplines were designed for food-addicted people. We believe in a disciplined and structured approach. How abstainers do not modify their food plan to suit themselves and commit themselves to black and white abstinence. Deviations invite the return of many other problems. A food plan is not a personal thing in how. This means that we depend upon each other for the strength and growth that we need to remain abstinent. We join together in an effort to free the compulsive overeater from the bondage of food through the use of a food plan, positive thinking, and the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Alcoholics Anonymous. We eat weighed and measured meals with nothing in between except sugar-free beverages and sugar-free gum. Food is written down, called into our sponsor, and committed so that we can get on with our recovery and out of the food. We also believe that negative thinking is a large part of our disease, so we abstain from negative thinking. Those of us who work the HOW program concepts use the following guidelines for food plans. 1, we do not write our own food plan. We use a food plan given to us by a doctor, nutritionist, or dietitian. We discuss it with our sponsor. We do not pick one that allows any of our binge foods. If some food on our plan becomes a problem, we avoid it. 2, unless approved by a sponsor, we do not skip meals, switch meals, or combine meals. We do not deviate or manipulate our food plan in any way. If we need to change our committed food during the day, we call a sponsor. We weigh and measure all our portions so that there is no guesswork. We do not measure by eye. We use a measuring cup, spoon, and a scale. So I have here, and I'm on my phone, so this is my digital scale. And this is typically what I use. I no longer have a spring-loaded scale, but you can use that too. And on here, I put my plate on it, and then I can kind of build my plate. So I put my plate on it, I turn it on, it's on zero, and I put my, let's say I have 3 ounces of 3 ounces of protein. I put that right on my plate, and then I tear it out with this little tear button here, which is the same as zero, and I put my next food on there. So maybe it's 8 ounces of vegetables, and then I would do that, and I would keep building my plate that way. You can do the same thing with the spring-loaded scale, but you just have to make sure you get it at eye level and that the line is right on, and you usually twist the dial until it gets to zero. The other thing we use is measuring cups, and this is a half-cup measuring cup, and what I do is I put my food in here. Let's say I'm getting a half a cup of rice. So I'll put my rice in there and I'll pack it all down and then I'll scrape it off. So I scrape it right off at the top. Whatever is inside is mine and whatever's on the outside is not mine. You do the same thing, and I forgot to bring a measuring spoon in here, but you do basically it's the same thing. So if this were a tablespoon or a teaspoon, I would put my oil in and level the top of that off. And I use these little straight edges, which are handy dandy things. And then you can use the liquid measuring cup. And it is time for me to stop. So I guess I went too slow. Number 4, we weigh ourselves once a month until we reach goal weight and once a week on maintenance. 5, unless advised otherwise by your doctor, we take a multivitamin and drink 64 ounces of water a day. 6, we do not drink alcohol. 7, we do not use foods containing sugar, except as sugar is listed 5th or beyond on the ingredients label. Above all, we do not vacillate or water down the disciplined nature of the HOW program. It is not the extra string bean that counts. It is the decision to take it. So what I was going to say about the measuring cup is it's really similar to the spring-loaded scale. So you want to get it right on. So if I was going to do 8 ounces of broth, I would put it in here up to the 8 ounce mark or the 1 cup mark and just measure it and make sure it's at eye level and measure it right on. The other thing in our abstinent kit is the phone. And every day, every morning, the first thing I do is call my sponsor. I have an early morning call. So I call my sponsor and I commit my food and I give her my assignment and 10 step. And that kind of sets me up for the day, right? It keeps me accountable. It's my sponsor is someone I am accountable to for my food plan. If I tell her that for breakfast, I'm going to have 8 ounces of yogurt and, 1 ounce of oats and 6 ounces of berries and, 7 grams of nuts and 1 hard-boiled egg, then that's what I eat. I don't eat anything else. So I am eating exactly what I commit. And that's part of the what keeps me abstinent. And it keeps the chatter out of my head, right? It keeps the all that monkey chatter, and it keeps me from thinking about it too, right? I'm not obsessing about what am I going to eat next and how much should I have and does this sound good to me or does this sound good to me? It's all planned out ahead of time. And, when something happens during the day, if I committed a banana in my yogurt, for example, and the kids ate all the bananas, then I call my sponsor and I make a food change. Because one of the things I have learned about myself is I do not have the ability to make good choices about my own food. I don't know that, you know, if I just made a simple switch, like, you know, an apple to a banana because the kids ate one. Yeah. Okay. That's a simple switch, but pretty soon, if I'm not calling and committing that, pretty soon that simple switch, you know, that banana turns into ice cream really fast for me. It does not take long for the wheels to start turning in my head. I'm the kind of person that, you know, if you give me even a quarter of an inch, I'm, you know, 10 feet, 12 feet, a mile down the road in no time at all. And the plan of eating, those are my boundaries, right? So when you take the little kids bowling and they put those little things in the grooves there for the balls, so the ball stays on thing and they can get the pins down, that's what my food plan does for me. It keeps me front and center and there's no deviation. So with that, I am going to pass. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Debbie.
Thanks, Debbie.
Next is sponsorship.
Hi, everyone. I'm Jane, compulsive overeater.
Hi, Jane.
Hey, Jane. Welcome.
Hi. Tool number two, sponsorship. Sponsors are OA members who are committed to abstinence and to living the 12 steps and 12 traditions to the best of their ability. We ask a sponsor to guide us through our program of recovery on all three levels, physical, emotional, and spiritual. In working with other members of OA and sharing their experience, strength, and hope, sponsors continually renew and reaffirm their own sobriety. Sponsors share their program up to the level of their own experience. Ours is a program of attraction. Find a sponsor who has what you want and ask how it was achieved. A member may work with more than one sponsor and may change sponsors at will. A house sponsor is a compulsive overeater who has completed at least 70 days of back-to-back abstinence and who has taken the first three steps of the program. Sponsors have also completed at least 70 days of assignments. Reflections to the sponsor, suggestions for discussion. No list of reflections and meditations are end-alls and be-alls for the newcomer. A sponsor must be attentive not only to what the new person is saying, but also to what the newcomer is not saying. There are many newcomers who are reticent to purchase books and who are hesitant to throw themselves headlong into the program. Therefore, we have a list of pre-commitment assignments. Above all, do not vacillate or water down the disciplined nature of the program. It is not the extra string bean that is the problem. It is the decision to have it that results in some trouble. The how concept is an alternative for people who've tried everything else before. Oh, tried everything else. Therefore, the program is an immutable triumvirate of tools, steps, and traditions. Using the tools of weighing and measuring our food, sponsors, meetings, phone calls, reading and writing, service and anonymity, we follow the 12 steps and 12 traditions of OA in order to free ourselves from the bondage of food addiction. Sponsors do not have the right to play God. We help each other. So again, my name is Jane, and I was just mentioning today in an outreach call that the thing that really sold me on how, because I did haunt this meeting for a little while to sniff you guys out to see, you know, what this whole thing was about, why it was different from OA, that kind of thing. The thing that really impressed me was the amount of sponsors that stood up just after this sponsorship share and how many of them had not only long-term sobriety from food, but also they were happy and they were, you know, vital, passionate people, it seemed. And I thought, wow, like that's really, to me, what makes this program so special. Because my struggle was that I felt I was the only person in my town that had any kind of abstinence. And even then, my abstinence was only, you know, a few months here and there. And and it just, it was felt very lonely for me. So the attractiveness of so many sponsors who had kept off weight and been abstinent for so long really moved me, actually. Currently, I am a sponsor, and I just joined HOW in September of last year, which doesn't feel that long ago. And I remember going through the questions and thinking, gosh, you know, I'm going to start sponsoring people at like after step three. That seems crazy. But this program is gentle in the sense that you can be, you know, you have by then such a strong, I had such a strong connection to my own sponsor that I knew that I could get help with any questions I had. And the temporary sponsorship was a really great way for me to get into it. And now I really love taking sponsee calls in the morning. So it's been a great adventure for me so far. And with that, I will pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Jane. Thank you, Jane. For the sake of time, will all HOW and OA sponsors please join me in sharing only the following. 1, how long in OA and HOW. 2, how long abstinent in OA and HOW. And OA or HOW. And 3, how much weight lost or gained. This is not a time for sharing for sponsors. Please keep it brief and no applauding between sponsors. If they wish to, sponsors can announce that they have an opening for a sponsee and provide their phone numbers. Sponsors are invited to share by starting your video and clicking the raise hand button on the participant panel, or pressing star and 9 on your phone, or just start your video. When it is your turn to share, you will hear your name and your audio will be unmuted. Following your share, please turn off your video as the meeting moderator remutes your line.
Sheila?
Hi, I'm Sheila, a compulsive overeater. I came directly to HOW in May of 2015. My abstinence date is May 19th of 2015, and I have been relieved of over 90 pounds. Pass.
Kelly?
Hi, my name is Kelly. I'm from Pennsylvania. I've been practicing the OA HOW 2-hour format since December of 2019, back-to-back. Abstinence is from December 21st of that time, and I have lost 30 pounds. Thank you.
Rosemary?
Hi, I'm Rosemary from Minneapolis. I am a HOW sponsor, and I came into the rooms in 2005. I've been abstinent since then. I've been relieved of about 75 pounds to the grace of this fellowship and program, and been maintaining that for about the last 10 years.
Heidi? We can't hear you, Heidi. I'll come back.
Hi, I'm Heidi, a compulsive overeater. Sorry about that. I came directly into HOW in October 2007, and my current abstinence date is July 26, 2019, and I am down 67 pounds.
Jackie?
Hi, I'm Jackie, sugar addict. Came to my first meeting in spring of 2015, didn't come back until spring of 2016. May 30th of 2016 is my abstinence date. I'm down 115 from my top weight. 88 of that has been in HOW.
Maureen?
Hi, I'm Maureen in Virginia. I joined traditional OA in March of 2019 and became sugar abstinent, then joined OA HOW of January of this year, became fully abstinent, and have released 40 pounds so far through the grace of God and everyone's help. And I'm a new sponsor looking for a newcomer as a sponsee.
Megan?
Hey all, this is Megan in Virginia. I'm an OA HOW sponsor, compulsive overeater. My back-to-back abstinence date is June 8th of 2015. I've given away 85 to 90 pounds in program, and I pass.
Mary?
Mary, compulsive overeater. My first OA How meeting was on Halloween 2012. Became abstinent the next day, and I've lost and maintained 75 pounds.
Georgia?
Oh, am I unmuted?
Yep, go ahead.
Okay. I'm Georgia and, in Madison, Wisconsin. I came into How in February of 2005 and had 8 years back to back, and then I took 3 years of research, and my recommitted abstinence date is July 26th of 2018, and I'm maintaining a 75 to 80 pound weight loss. Georgia in Madison, Wisconsin. Pass.
Pamela?
Hi, Pamela in Sarasota, Florida. I came into OA over 40 years ago, and I lost over 100 pounds. I stayed for about 20 years and left for 20. And on January 22nd, 2016, I came right into OA How. And I wish I could say that's my back-to-back abstinence, but it's June 15th, 2017. And I am a two-hour How sponsor, and my weight loss or gain is between my higher power, my nutritionist, and my doctor and sponsor. Thank you.
Debbie?
Hi, my name is Debbie. I'm a compulsive overeater. I came to How in October of 2006. My current abstinence date is October 12th. 2018, and I am down 120 pounds, and I pass.
Lewis?
Paralysis over food. My name is Lewis from Maryland. I came into OA How in March of 2006. My back-to-back abstinence dates from January 3rd of last year, and I have about an 80-pound weight loss from my top weight.
Christina?
Hi, everyone. It's Christina in New Mexico. I'm an OA How two-hour sponsor. My abstinence date is June 2017, maintaining about a 50-pound weight loss. So glad to be here. Thanks.
Berta? Berta, you're muted.
Hi. Thanks for unmuting me. And my name is Berta. I am a compulsive overeater. Sugar abstinence is January 1st of 09. Today is, it's 830 days of back-to-back abstinence. In OA How, I'm keeping 65 pounds off for 10 years, and with that I pass.
If anybody's listed as a co-host, you have to start your own video. So if there's, all right. Erlinda?
Hi, everyone. It's Erlinda from Chicago. My back-to-back abstinence date is February 11, 2019, and I've been relieved of 63 pounds, and I'm grateful to be here, and I do not have an opening yet. Thank you.
Ruth, you want to go?
Yes, this is Ruth in Connecticut. I'm an OA House sponsor. My back-to-back date is December 11th of 2008, and I'm maintaining a 45-pound weight loss. Ruth in Connecticut.
If there's anybody on the phone that's a sponsor too, you can press star six. Go ahead.
Hey, everybody. It's Howard, a compulsive overeater. I'm a sponsor on the late shift. I've been abstaining a little over 34 years. I have 18 years and 10 months of abstinence in OA How. I've gained 10 pounds and a little bit of sanity.
Hi, I'm Abby in Maryland. My current abstinence dates to January 20th of last year. I've been about 80 pounds heavier and 10 pounds lighter. Pass.
Anyone else? Okay, clay feet. Which we should remember that all OAs have clay feet. We should not set any member upon a pedestal and mark her or him out as a perfect OA. But it's not fair to the person to be singled out in this fashion, and if the person is wise, she or he will not wish it. If the person we single out as an ideal OA has a fall, we are in danger of falling too. Without exception, we are all only one bite away from a binge. No matter how long we've been in OA or how, nobody is entirely safe. OA itself should be our ideal, not any particular member of it. Next, we have the tool of anonymity.
Anonymity is a tool as well as a tradition because it guarantees that we place principles before personalities. It offers each of us freedom of expression and protection against gossip. Anonymity assures us that only we as individual OA members have the right to make our membership known within the community. Anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication means that we never allow our faces or last names to be used once we identify ourselves as OA members. Within the fellowship, anonymity means that whatever we share with another OA member will be held in respect and confidence. What we hear at meetings should remain there. It should be understood, however, that anonymity must not be used to limit our effectiveness within the fellowship. It is not a break of anonymity to give our names and addresses to the secretary of our group or to other service offices of OA for the purpose of conducting OA business, which is primarily 12th step work. It is likewise not a break of anonymity to enlist 12th step help for group members in trouble, provided we are careful to omit specific personal information. If their disease is reactivated and we persist in protecting their anonymity, we may in effect help kill them in their anonymity. Anonymity is the part of the program that allows each of us to stand in front of our fellows and share for the first time, honestly, who we are, where we have been, and where we hope to go, without fear that our story will be told outside these rooms. For many of us, the OA rooms are the first place where we have no fear of being judged and criticized. We are accepted as we are at that moment. This is the first time for most of us that we experience sharing where we are not told what we did wrong. We come to OA at rock bottom, mangled emotionally, physically, and spiritually. We are supported back to health with honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness. We are encouraged to speak of our pain, and we are lovingly told your secrets are safe. Come share our recovery, recovery on a threefold level, physical, emotional, and spiritual. Lastly, a word to newcomers, please join us. However, if you decide that the program is not for you, please remember that our anonymity allows us to grow and recover from a very serious disease. Whom you see here, what you hear here, when you leave here, let it stay here. I'm very grateful for the concept of anonymity in this group. I think that Hal has a little bit of a more broad concept of anonymity than some other groups. And at first, I didn't understand it. I thought that it felt a little extreme to not say anyone that you connected with. Like who your hookups were, who your sponsor was, who your sponsee was. And I thought, I wonder why that is. And what I realized is it just makes every aspect of this program very safe. It means that if we're working with a sponsor and maybe that sponsor doesn't work out, or if a sponsee has a slip and needs to find another sponsor, it's not like we have to be embarrassed or think that everyone's going to know about it, or that we didn't get along with a certain someone. It just takes all of the drama out of the picture and allows us to be all part of the same group and all equals. And I'm very, very grateful for that. One thing that I've learned through the years is to not take anonymity to extreme in my personal life, because I realize that this program is about attraction and not promotion. And if I am always hiding who I am and what I do to get better, I might miss out on helping someone else. So I know that like weight loss and food programs are always very hot topics when you see other people, like, oh, what are you doing? Or what plan are you on? And a lot of times I don't share about the OA program because I think, well, that's my business and I'm not sure how they'll take it. But a lot of times I feel like I should probably feel it out and open up a little bit more if I think someone might be struggling themselves. Because anonymity doesn't mean I protect myself from embarrassment in order to help someone else. It means that I live a sane and recovered life that hopefully will bring someone else to the same result if they need it to. With that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Kelly.
Next is telephone calls.
Hi, my name is Carrie. I'm a compulsive overeater in Minnesota.
Hi, Carrie.
I have 204, which is telephone. Compulsive overeating is a disease of isolation. The telephone is a means of communicating with another compulsive overeater between meetings. It provides an immediate outlet for those hard to handle highs and lows we all experience. The telephone is also daily linked to our sponsor. As part of our surrender process, it is a tool by which we learn to ask for help, reach out, and extend that same help to others. And how we are asked to make at least 4 telephone calls per day, 1 to our sponsor and 3 more to other OA HOW members. These calls give us an opportunity to talk program on a daily basis. The telephone is our lifeline. So I use this lifeline today. I am going through my step 6 process where I am admitting my defects of character and then asking God, step 7 is asking God to remove these defects of character. So one of my defects of character is when I hang on to something, it fills my brain so much that I just can't think of anything else. And I work in a world where I work in the world of finance. So some things in finance are just like, that's the way they are and that's the way the industry is. And so I have some pretty like strong opinions about the way the industry works, and it's a lot of frustration that I have. And when I get that frustration in my head, I can't get it out of my head, or that's the way it's been in the past. It's like I can't get it out of my head, and therefore if I'm thinking about this thing that's happening at work and I'm ruminating on it, where can I be of service to other people? How can I be up? Pardon me?
You're breaking up. I don't know if you could turn off your Bluetooth.
Oh, I'm not on a Bluetooth. I'm on a regular. Is this better?
Yeah, that's better.
Okay. Sorry about that. My computer's been on the fritz. Okay. So if I'm ruminating on something about work, then I can't be of service to anybody else. I can't be of service to my coworkers. I can't be of service to my animals. I can't be of service to my friends or family. So with a phone call today, I was able to go through a step 10 and just get that garbage out of my brain. So without the telephone, I would just be sitting there ruminating on it. But with the telephone, I'm able to work through my issues with another fellow. So hopefully you heard me okay. Sorry, I was breaking up. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Carrie. Next is meetings.
Go ahead, Pamela.
Oh, I thought I signed up for literature and writing. Okay. No worries. Pamela, compulsive overeater, food addict. Meetings are a gathering of 2 or more compulsive eaters who come together to share their experience before and after recovery and to share the strength and hope OA has given them. Meetings are the opportunity for us to identify and confirm our common problem by relating to one another and by sharing the gifts we receive through this program. We find that being on time for meetings enhances our recovery and provides service to the meeting. Though there are many kinds of meetings, fellowship is the basis of them all. As HOW members, we attend at least 1 HOW meeting a week. I came right into HOW. There was a face-to-face meeting here in Sarasota, Florida, that last month disbanded the face-to-face, but we are now a telephone meeting solely. And it was really comforting to be able to go there and see other people that have the same disease that I have. And we would commemorate and have some chuckles, and you know, it's not a leisure time at a meeting, but it surely connects you with someone else that is a compulsive overeater and you can talk to. My first sponsor was in that meeting, and we met there every week. And while I was doing the steps, we went through the steps before the meeting. And, you know, it was really nice to be able to do that with a one-on-one. Now that we're telephone meeting, things are going to be different for us. And I have two sponsees that I see on a regular basis. One is a snowbird, and the other one lives here year-round, like I do. And it's really nice to be able to call somebody up. Well, I can't now because of this COVID-19. But yeah, we used to get together every now and then. And and be able to discuss things privately, because I'm married, they're married, and it's nice to get one-on-one to just be able to chat. And I guess that's all I have. I love going to meetings. I wasn't able to do service like set up or anything like that, but I did participate in the readings and the write and the sponsor line. So thank you. And I'm so grateful to be back at this meeting again.
Thank you, Pamela.
You're welcome.
Thanks. Literature and writing.
Hey everyone, it's Christina in New Mexico. I'm a compulsive overeater. Tools 6 and 7 are literature and writing. Literature, we study the textbook Alcoholics Anonymous, referred to as the Big Book, and the 12 Steps and 12 Traditions, another AA book, to reinforce our program. By substituting the words food and compulsive eating for the words alcohol and alcoholism, we can identify closely. We also read OA literature, the OA book, Overeaters Anonymous, referred to as the Brown Book, the OA 12 Steps and 12 Traditions, For Today, For Daily Meditation, and Lifeline, our Journal of Recovery. Read on a daily basis, our literature impresses on us certain basic truths that we have found vital to our growth. Our literature and the AA books are an ever-available tool that gives insight into our problem, as well as the strength to deal with it, and the very real hope that there is a solution for us. Writing. In addition to writing our inventories and the list of people we have harmed, most of us have found that writing has been an indispensable tool for working the steps. Forever putting our thoughts and feelings down on paper or describing a troubling incident helps us to better understand our actions and reactions in a way that is often not revealed to us by simply thinking or talking about them. In the past, compulsive eating was our most common reaction to life. When we put our difficulties down on paper, it becomes easier to see situations more clearly and perhaps discern any necessary action. Okay, I think I want to focus on writing today. Like I said, I'm Christina, I'm a compulsive overeater. One of the things that this program has really helped me to do is to care for myself. I grew up in a home that was populated by sweet parents who were really young and didn't know what they were doing and doing the best they could, but it wasn't enough. And so it was quite neglectful. And I remember growing up and feeling like, gosh, I just want someone to pay attention to me. I just want someone to listen to me. I just want someone to care for me. And one of the things that I've been learning through this program, especially through the tool of writing, is I can witness myself. I can care for myself. I can listen to myself. And I think I never really learned how to do that. And that's part of the reason why I ended up turning to food all the time. That was my common reaction to life, rather than checking in with myself and being like, huh, how am I feeling? What did happen today? What am I worried about later on today? And writing has helped me to do that. I did not have a practice of writing in my journal or processing before I got that tool. Found that it's just been amazing for me to pay attention to myself and to reach out to myself. And in doing that, I can then respond to other people and in ways that are just a lot more gracious and a lot more truthful. And so, yeah, that's one of the things I really love about that particular tool. And I just thank you for allowing me to share.
Thank you. Okay, the last tool then is service.
Paralysis Over Food. My name is Lewis from Maryland. Carrying the message.
Hey, Lewis. Welcome.
Hi, Lewis. Welcome.
Carrying the message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers is the basic purpose of our fellowship and therefore the most fundamental form of service. Any service, no matter how small, that will help reach a fellow sufferer adds to the quality of our own recovery. Putting away chairs, making coffee, talking to newcomers, doing whatever needs to be done in a group or for OA as a whole, or ways in which we get back. We have so generously been given. Do what you can when you can. A life of sane and happy usefulness is what we are promised as a result of working the 12 steps. Service fulfills that promise. Ways to extend the hand and heart of OA to all who share my compulsion. For this, I'm responsible. Service has been an invaluable tool for me during this pandemic. Right when the pandemic hit, I lost my job as a result of the pandemic. And so I had these intense feelings of fear and anxiety because the unemployment was going haywire, the job market was contracting, the economy was a mess, all the kind of craziness that we have experienced and all the uncertainty around it. So what service did was gave me stability. So even though I felt unstable, I could do things that were in alignment with spiritual principles by serving others. And as a result of that, I was able to allow the feelings to process through and got into a place of acceptance with what was happening. And by the grace of God, I got a job offer today and do have a job after all. So what service does and the tools of OA How do is they give me clarity and focus. And service in particular gives me focus on somebody else other than myself, which is a pathway to God. So thanks for letting me share.
Thanks, Lewis.
Thank you. Will all people doing service for OA at any level please stand and applaud service?
Yay, service! Woo-hoo!
Thank you. The Minnesota OA How live meeting is a friendly place, and we want to get to know each other. If you are attending for the first time, please turn on your video and unmute your line or press star 6 on your phone keypad and introduce yourself by first name only and where you are from. If you'd like to receive phone calls, please give us your phone number, time zone, and best times to call. Is there anyone new out there?
Hi, I'm Michelle from Hawaii. Can you hear me?
Yes, Michelle. Hi. Welcome.
Hi, Michelle. Hi. Welcome.
Welcome, Michelle.
Welcome, Michelle.
Appreciate you all. I'm new and I have a temporary sponsor right now, but I'm looking for a long-term sponsor. And I had a question about someone who said they're looking for a new person. And if I could find out after the meeting how to get their number. Thank you.
You want to give us your number for now? Or you can put it in the chat, either way.
My number is 808-391-8057. That's area code 808-391-8057. And it's around 2 o'clock here in Hawaii, 2 o'clock PM.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
And welcome.
Welcome, Michelle.
Appreciate you all.
Maureen from Massachusetts.
Hi, welcome.
My phone number is 978-596-4958, and I'm returning to OA.
I didn't quite catch your name.
Maureen.
Oh, hi, Maureen. Thank you. Welcome.
Hi, my name is Jocelyn. I'm from Boulder, Colorado.
Hi, Jocelyn.
Welcome, Jocelyn.
Hey, Jocelyn. Welcome.
Thank you. First call, and my phone number is 310-927-7968. And I think good time to call me. I'm not totally sure because of all this COVID stuff, but I don't know, 9 to 5. I'm around.
Well, thank you, Jocelyn, for joining us.
Thank you.
Hi.
Hi, go ahead.
This is Nancy. I am a compulsive overeater, and this is my first help.
Hi, Nancy. Welcome. Welcome.
Welcome, Nancy.
Welcome.
I am interested in receiving service calls if it's possible.
Okay. Would you like to give us your number?
Yes. It's 410-908-8016. And I am in Florida.
Okay.
Welcome, Nancy.
Thank you.
Thank you, Nancy. So I have 410-908-8016.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you, Nancy. Okay. Anyone else new? Okay, so if you'd also put your information in the chat box, and if you want to put your email address there too, you can get a phone list. This meeting has ASL interpretation provided by state funding. We ask all deaf participants to please utilize the chat to let us know you are here. Please include the city and state in which you reside. You can also inform us by changing your username to ASL_name_state_city. May we please have a treasurer's report?
Hi, my name's Heidi, compulsive overeater and treasurer for this meeting. Last week, we received $146 less the PayPal fees. And I did purchase a few things for our meeting, like stamps, a new medallion box, cards to mail out medallions, which I did mail out medallions. And we paid our Zoom and conferencing call fees. Thank you.
Thank you, Heidi.
Thanks, Heidi.
Thanks for the service, Heidi.
Our seventh tradition helps this meeting provide the equipment, enhance our website, contribute to our service structure, refine the technology, develop other live OA face-to-face groups, and more. Please go to mnhowlive.org to donate. So now I'm going to read, we've got some bad news for you.
Oh, Rose.
No.
Oh, you, it was bad news for us, and it will probably be bad news for you. Whether you've quit 6 days, months, or years, if you go out and take that first compulsive bite of food, you'll end up just like you've been in the past. You are a compulsive eater. And that's from the Big Book, page 187. Are there any announcements?
Hey, Hey, all. This is Megan. I have a quick announcement.
Okay.
I am one of the folks on this meeting that helps to find speakers for our meeting. And we had a last minute, someone back out last minute. So we do not have a speaker for next Tuesday, the 26th of May. So if you would be able to speak and share your story of experience, strength, and hope, we would love to hear from you. And we're full for June. And then if you have an anniversary or special celebration coming up in July, currently looking for folks for July. Thanks for letting me share and make my announcement.
Thank you, Megan. Any other announcements?
Yeah, this is Sheila, compulsive overeater, and I'm just would like to remind everyone of the Big Book, the virtual Big Book study that is taking place coming up here Saturday, May 30th, and Saturday, June 6th. That workshop or that Big Book study, I guess, runs from 9 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. Central Time. And feel free to, or where you can register for that would be at the overeaters.org website. And I will put a link to that registration in the chat in just a few minutes.
Thank you, Sheila. Other announcements? So literature and books. Newcomer and sponsor materials are located at the virtual intergroups resource page at www.oahowphonemeetings.com. You can purchase OA books and pamphlets at bookstore.oa.org. It's now time for medallions. At HOW meetings, we recognize the milestones of recovery for those working the HOW program. All other OA abstinence is given a round of applause. Anyone may request a medallion by turning on your camera and unmuting your phone. So let's see, I get to ask, is there anyone celebrating 10 or more years of abstinence? Nine, eight, or 7 years? What about 6 years?
Yes, 5 years right here.
Hey,
woo-hoo!
Sheila.
Yeah.
Hello, Sheila. Congratulations.
Woo-hoo! All right, Sheila.
Hey.
Okay, is there anybody celebrating 4 years, 3 years, or 2 years? How about 18 months of abstinence or 1 year? Anybody celebrating 9 months, 6 months, 3 months, or 90 days?
Hey, Ruth, it's Alyssa, compulsive overeater, food addict in Seattle. And in this generous universe and with the love of all of you, I am celebrating 90 days today.
Yay.
Woo. Yay, Alyssa. Way to go, Alyssa. Congrats.
Anybody else with 90 days? 60 days? 30 days of back-to-back abstinence. And last but not least, is there anyone who wants a chip of desire? This does not mean that you have been abstinent are going to be abstinent for the next 24 hours. It just means you have the desire to be abstinent. Is there anyone on the meeting who would like to get a chip of desire?
Me, Nancy.
Yay, Nancy.
Yay, Nancy.
Yay, Nancy, congrats.
Thank you.
Awesome, Nancy. Nancy, if you would like that shipped to you, I will send you a message in chat. This is Heidi C., and I'll get your address and ship that to you.
Congratulations, Nancy. Anyone else want a chip of desire?
Hi, this is Emily. I'm day 2 back off in a relapse, so glad to be here.
Okay, great.
Awesome, Emily.
Yay, Emily. Welcome back.
Welcome, Emily.
Thanks, everyone.
Anyone else want a claim of chip of desire? Okay, well, congratulations to Sheila for 5 years, Alyssa, 90 days, and then Emily and Nancy. Congratulations. Okay, step-ups. At this point in the meeting, we ask the group to join us as we celebrate another example of the miracles that abound in OA. The stepping up portion of the program asks a sponsor to introduce a newcomer who has at least 70 days of back-to-back abstinence, who has completed the first 3 steps of the program, and who is now ready to become a sponsor. At HEL meetings, new sponsors are presented with a cactus plant to signify the tough love of the program. Stick with the stickers, a reminder to drink your water, and a reminder that we don't water down the program. Are there any step-ups? Not that I'm aware of today. Anniversaries. Birthdays are celebrated for each year of continuous abstinence. That's from the OA Group Handbook, page 10. Well, I did forget to ask the anniversary celebrant to light her candle, but I understand we have an anniversary tonight. Is that still correct?
Yes,
that is correct.
Oh, so Sheila.
I guess I have a little candle in the background there. Can you see it?
Oh, okay, great. Thank you. I forgot to ask you at the beginning to light your candle. And thank you for turning on your video. So I have the anniversary reading for you. Unless you, did you have someone in specific?
No, go ahead. I would love to
okay,
have you
do yeah. My understanding is that I would do that, yes. Thank you, Sheila, and congratulations.
Thank you.
Okay, Sheila, now comes the biggest question yet. What about the practice of these principles in all our affairs? Can we love the whole pattern of living as eagerly as we do the small segment of it that we discover when we try to help other alcoholics achieve sobriety? Can we bring the same spirit of love and tolerance into our sometimes deranged family lives that we bring into our AA group? Can we have the same kind of confidence and faith in these people who have been infected and sometimes crippled by our own illness that we have in our sponsors? Can we actually carry the AA spirit into our daily work? Can we meet our newly recognized responsibilities to the world at large? And can we bring new purpose and devotion to the religion of our choice? Can we find a new joy of living and trying to do something about all these things? Furthermore, how shall we come to terms with seeming failure or success? Can we now accept and adjust to either without despair or pride? Can we accept poverty, sickness, loneliness, and bereavement with courage and serenity? Can we steadfastly content ourselves with the humbler, yet sometimes more durable satisfactions when the brighter, more glittering achievements are denied us? The AA answer to these questions about living is yes, all these things are possible. We know this because we see monotony, pain, and even calamity turned to good use by those who keep on trying to practice AA's 12 steps. And if these are the fact of life for the many alcoholics who have recovered in AA, they can become the facts of life for many more. And that's from the AA 12 and 12, page 111. Well, congratulations, Sheila, on your anniversary.
Thank you. Thank you, Ruth. Thank you, everyone.
Sheila. Yeah.
Good job, Sheila.
Okay, and let me just see what time it is now. Okay, so we're doing okay with time. So it's now time for me to share for 10 minutes. And if
Ruth, how would you like me to time you?
Just let me know when I'm done.
Okay, I got it.
Okay. So my name is Ruth, and I'm a grateful recovering compulsive overeater. I forgot to start my timer.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks. I'm happy to lead this meeting. Last week I was just wondering how you guys, how this meeting finds leaders and speakers. I didn't see it on the website, and someone happened to call me this week and asked me if I would be willing to lead. And so I'm happy to do that. I'm trying to make this my regular group that I come to every week. It doesn't always work for me, but I know I do better when I have a home group that I'm committed to and that I give service at. This meeting has also, this particular meeting was also helpful to me in that when I first came to it, I was aware of how I wasn't comfortable with my appearance, and that even though I'd been in OA for years and had been at maintenance for years, well, since like 2008, I've been at maintenance, that I still had feelings about my appearance and about that sort of thing. And so it just made me, I wasn't really aware of that until I had was seen in the meeting, because I was used to going to phone meetings where I wasn't in person. So I was just grateful that I've gotten a lot more used to seeing myself and more comfortable with that, and kind of actually developing a different image of myself. Also, I think because of aging, you know, it's like I still think of myself as what I look like when I was in my 20s or something. But I'm just having a lot more self-acceptance. I guess the thing that I'd like to share about tonight is just how much I get from continuing to work this program. Before I came to HOW, I didn't think it would be possible for me to have the obsession with food removed. I had been working regular OA since the early 80s, and even though I had had periods of abstinence, I hadn't really been relieved of the compulsion and the obsession. And miraculously, with this, using all the tools and the steps, the way we work our program here, that was really removed from me almost 100% of the time. I just really don't think about food anymore. And that's just such a blessing, because it gives me a lot of time to have life in there besides worrying about my food. I guess I would also encourage anybody who's starting the program now. I remember how much work it was for me when I started the program. It was really hard for me to figure out how to get my phone calls in or how to figure out my food. And it took me a lot of time to plan my food and to make sure I had the food in the house. And just, I would encourage you that all of those things get easier and more automatic. And now things like drinking my water is just kind of automatic. I know yesterday I had to call my sponsor because I wasn't sure. The way I do measure out my water, and I have 4 bottles of water, 16-ounce bottles that I measure so that I can keep track of my water. And I lost track of whether I had filled them the way that I usually do. So I called my sponsor just to kind of put that out of my mind. But all that stuff gets easier, and you can ask hookups. That's a good thing to talk to hookups about, you know, if you're having trouble with anything in particular. I guess I also wanted to talk about how this program is helping me with the pandemic. The thing that I've been noticing the past week or so is that I've been really feeling depleted, and like I just need to kind of get back to basics. And so the tools of the program remind me of all the things that are basic. So whenever I'm feeling stressed and don't kind of know what to do next, if I just come back to my tool programs and remember, okay, well, maybe my next thing is I need to eat my lunch. So then I'll get my notebook out and I turn to my food plan and I look at what's for lunch, and I get out my scale and I just measure that first item. And then I do the next item and I'll check everything off. And then I sit down at the table and I have my food all there. And all of those practices and disciplines that I've developed really just helped me to kind of stay grounded and focused. And it gives me a real sense of calm and security. And I guess also the steps, I think, are helping me right now. I have a lot of good things going on. Actually, my daughter just graduated from graduate school yesterday. And I think that was part of what was depleting me a little bit, was just all the celebrations around that. And I think trying to do things remotely, like trying to work remotely or to celebrate her graduation remotely, it was very successful. And I felt like it was a positive experience for both her and for all the family members and everybody that was able to come together. But I definitely think it's more stress. There's just a lot more, to try to work remotely is harder. And so I have to remember to just stick with the basics. And so things like my food, I need to get to the grocery store, but I have all my backup foods. So even though I was too tired to get to the grocery store the past couple of days, because I knew it would involve, you know, wearing a mask and gloves and cleaning the food when I brought it home or putting things in the garage to sit for a while. But I have my backup foods. And I actually took, I have 2 weeks of non-perishables that I planned all out so that I would know that I had my backup foods. And they were in my trunk because I wanted to be able to leave my home if I needed to quarantine somewhere. But now what I did is I have them in boxes and they're in my basement. I don't think I need them. I don't feel like I need them in my trunk anymore. So, but I like that security of knowing I have my food. And I usually don't commit food. Yeah, I don't commit food unless I have it. So, because I used to have trouble with getting to the grocery store and I would say, and then I would just grab anything and eat whatever I had in the house that wasn't my abstinent food. So I learned in program how to plan my food and how to only commit the foods that I have. I kind of briefly mentioned the steps, but I guess I just want to bring the spiritual dimension in a little bit in the last couple minutes that I have. You know, the discipline of reading and writing and talking to my sponsor, it's really a way for me to get in touch with how I'm feeling and what's going on with me. And then by sharing it with the sponsor, it's like doing the fourth and fifth step. And then, you know, I do my writing at the end of the day to kind of review my day. And I practice gratitudes by being grateful at the end of the day. Which that was a discipline I had to learn too, because I would automatically think of the things that I weren't happy about that were in my day. And now I've learned to turn that around and to see how I can view that in a positive way. And I guess I would just encourage newcomers to take phone numbers, call people. And for anybody who's struggling with the pandemic issues, to just talk with people in your hookups, get ideas about how to make things easier. And with that, I will pass. And we'll shift to the speaker. I would now like to introduce our guest speaker who qualifies for 20 minutes. I believe that's Sheila.
Yes, it's me.
Hey, thank you, Sheila. Do you want to let the timer know what your time you would like?
Megan, can you do like 10 minutes, 5 minutes, and 1 minute? Will that work?
Got it. You want me to put it in the chat, or would you like me to unmute and let you know?
I think you can put it in the chat. That's fine. Thank you.
Cool. Thanks.
So hi everyone, I'm Sheila and I am a compulsive overeater. I am a binge eater, is probably the biggest part of my disease. I would like to take just a minute and take and welcome all of the newcomers. I don't know that I captured everyone's name, but I got Nancy and Michelle and Maureen and Jocelyn, Whitney and Karen and Jody, and some of you, this maybe isn't your first meeting, but you're here in one of your first of few meetings maybe. I just want to welcome each of you. It's so glad that all of you are here. I actually came to my first OA HOW meeting 5 years ago yesterday. And it's hard to believe that it's been 5 years already. I do want to talk a little bit about tonight, just give you a little bit of background on what things were like for me, kind of what happened and what things are like now. So what was it like? You know, I like to joke around that I was probably born a compulsive overeater. I was 9.5 pounds when I was born. So I like to just say, you know, I think I was a compulsive overeater when I came out of the womb. You know, I really don't have many memories prior to, you know, maybe being 6 or 7 years old. So I don't even recall as, you know, a toddler or a real young youth of kind of what my eating was like. But I do kind of getting into probably my early elementary years, I have a lot of memories kind of around food. And I was a child that was filled with lots of anxiety, and I was very shy and quiet, and just recalled food really being a comfort for me. I remember my family would do kind of on, I don't remember if it was Saturday nights or Sunday nights, we would go visiting, and it was usually going to one of my aunt and uncle's houses, and sometimes maybe the other set of aunts and uncles were there, whatever, but I just loved to go visiting, because what this meant is that at the end of the evening, at the end of the visit, after the end of spending time together, there would be food. And that food usually consisted of maybe some sort of a sandwich and chips and pickles or something. But the best part was there were desserts. And it would be whosoever house that this visiting was being held at, they would have baked a pan of something, and my mom would have brought along a pan of something. And if there was someone else there, they would have brought along a pan of something else. And there would just be this like table filled with desserts. And it was very normal to have more than one dessert, because really you needed to try everybody's dessert that was there. Sometimes it may have been just brownies, but sometimes it may have been some other fancy dessert. And I just remember always like wanting to be in the kitchen and helping to set out the food. And I think so many times it was because, like, as I got a little bit older, like I got to like cut the pan of dessert, which meant, you know, there was always some broken pieces or something that I got to eat or try. But it just always made me feel better. I don't know, I was just comforted by that. As I got a little bit older, I'm the oldest of four. But as I got a little bit older and my family would be sitting around the dinner table, I would always want to be the first one at the table. I always wanted the biggest piece of whatever. So if it was chicken we were having, I wanted to be first at the table so I could get the biggest piece. I always ate very fast so that I could have seconds before anybody else, because, you know, sometimes there weren't seconds for everybody. And so the faster I ate, I was ensured that there would be seconds for me. You know, I just loved going to my grandparents' house. Both of my grandmothers were wonderful cooks, but especially wonderful bakers. And the cookie jar was always filled. I also like to say kind of within my family, we didn't like, I can think the way that love was expressed was with food. You know, we didn't do a lot of hugging. We didn't exchange like I love yous with each other. I just always want to say the more food that there was, the more that you were loved. And my grandmothers were especially good at that. Even one of my grandmothers, you know, I could show up at her house in the middle of the afternoon and she just insisted that I eat. I mean, she had to make like a meal. It wasn't just a snack. It was like a meal. That was just how she was. That's just how she expressed her love. And just, yeah, very, very grateful for that. As I became a teenager, I got a part-time job and I was working in a bakery. And how some people maybe say that have maybe worked at a bakery or fast food or whatever, it's like, oh yeah, the first week or so, it's great because you know, love all the food, but then after that, you don't care for it anymore. Well, that didn't happen with me. I worked in the bakery for 3 years out of high school, and actually found that I loved certain things in the bakery that I didn't even love, that I didn't really like before I started working in the bakery. But again, it just brought me comfort. I look back now and it's like, you know, one donut was never enough. I know I could never stop at one donut. I don't think sometimes when I worked that I stopped at three donuts. It was not good. Also in high school, I found kind of my lunch many times consisted of a Snickers bar and Mountain Dew. That was kind of the energy that I needed to get through the school day. But then what would happen is I would come home from school and binge. I didn't know it at the time as binging. As I look back and reflect now, it certainly was binging. But I would come home at 4 o'clock from school and just be digging through the kitchen, scrounging through the kitchen, figuring out what there was that I could eat. Many times my mom had me start making dinner before she got home from work. And so she would have laid out whatever it was or have told me what it was she wanted me to put together, what it was she wanted me to make. And I swear that sometimes there, by the time like the dinner was actually cooked for, now this was an entire family of 5 to 6 of us, half of it, it felt like sometimes half of it was gone and I kind of felt embarrassed by that. Maybe unlike some people, I didn't actually go on my first diet. I guess I never dieted like in high school or anything. Like I was always very self-conscious. I was always a lot bigger than everyone else. I was always just very uncomfortable, but I never went on a diet of any sort while in high school. My first diet happened, my first attempt at dieting happened when I was in college. And it was one of those situations where it was one of those companies where you go and they provide all your food for you. And so I'd made an appointment and I had gone there and was super excited because I was kind of at the point where, you know, I was now like 20 or 21. I was probably about 20, I guess. And, you know, I didn't have boys or young men being interested in me at all. And I really, you know, I had roommates with boyfriends and I had never had a boyfriend and, you know, just knew it was because of my size. And so I went to this place and picked up all my food and was just like super excited about, you know, eating this food and I was going to get really thin and, you know, all the boys would be after me and whatever else. Well, I ended up getting home with those bags of like prepackaged food and something hit me. I was kind of reminded that like I'm a college student and how was I really going to afford all of this food? So I actually called the place back and they allowed me to bring the food back and they gave me, I don't know, my deposit back or money back. I don't remember exactly what it was. I never ended up eating any of the food just because I knew that I could not afford it. So just continued through college, getting like bigger by the moment. And then once I was done with college, I went to my first pay and weigh, and I was really successful. I don't remember how much weight I lost. It lost a fair amount. I was looking really good. I was feeling really good. I had men that were starting to be attracted to me, and I don't know. It was great. It was great. And I got to that point where I was just like feeling really good that it's like, well, I don't need this anymore. So I stopped. And now when I look back on it, it was, you know, I didn't even lose the weight because I was following the program correctly. I was completely restricting. I mean, you know, the program was still laid out, you know, you have three meals a day and this was a snack or two. I don't remember exactly what it was then, but, you know, it was, if you followed the plan, it was a pretty healthy plan. But what I did is I skipped breakfast, I skipped lunch, and then I had this really little dinner. And so that allowed me to lose a bunch of weight quickly. And, but then as soon as I, you know, stopped doing that, all of the weight started to come back on. And kind of over the next like 20 years or so, I went back to that same pay and weigh probably at least once a year. I'm thinking maybe sometimes it wasn't always once in a year, but each time I became less and less successful. And yeah, each time was less and less successful. And that kind of brought me to kind of my last attempt with that pay and weigh, which was about 6 months or so before I came to Howe. And kind of what happened that time is I went and I just said, you know, I think this is going to be my last attempt. And it really was my last attempt. I lasted 2 to 3 weeks. The first week was pretty easy. By the second week, I was cheating. And by, you know, the third week, I was into my full-blown binges again. And I had actually realized at that point that I was an emotional eater. And I actually had some acceptance around that because it was like, oh, now I know why I can't lose weight and keep it off. I'm an emotional eater. And so I was like, I had some acceptance around it and I was kind of okay with it. Well, then a few months later, I had a friend of mine who was telling me about OA. Someone had suggested she go to OA and she had gone to a couple of meetings and she was telling me about it. And I got a little curious because it sounded like what I might need or what might help me with my emotional eating. And so I stalked the OA website for a little while. And then I finally, gave in to going to a meeting. I actually found a meeting that was like 5 minutes from my home. It was on a night of the week that worked for me. Lo and behold, it happened to be a Howe meeting. I didn't know that it was Howe at the time. I didn't even know what Howe was. I didn't even know that there were different types of OA meetings. It just happened to be a Howe meeting. And that was 5 years ago yesterday. 5 years ago last night, actually. You know, I was just in awe. I don't remember much about that meeting at all. All I really remember is I remember who the leader was. I remember who the speaker was that night. And I remember who the woman was that was sitting to my left. Aside from that, I don't really remember a whole lot. What is so encouraging to me when I think about this is those three people that I remember from that very first meeting are still in program today. So for you newcomers, like, you know, if you're seeing people here on this meeting tonight, just know that, you know, people have been around some for a really long period of time, but people do stick around. Like, this program works if you work it. And that is just like very encouraging to me every time I think about that. There's really only three people I remember from that meeting. And it was really only three things that I remember from that meeting. And those were the three people, and that they are still around. That night, somebody actually gave me a sponsor list. And the next morning I started making some phone calls and someone said, I can temp you. And they helped me figure out what to have for breakfast and lunch and whatever. And they temped me for a week or two until I ended up finding a permanent sponsor. From there, I just did what my sponsor told me. Sometimes there were things that I didn't believe in. And Megan, I am seeing your prompts here, so thank you. Sometimes my sponsor just said, you have to act as if. And that's just what I did. I think one of the big things that happened is I got involved with service. I still remember my very first service position per se at my face-to-face meeting. I was just so excited when I signed up to be the service person to put away the tea in the water at the end of the meeting. It just really helped me to be accountable. I knew that somebody was going to be counting on me to do that job. And what has happened over the last 5 years is I've gotten involved in more and more service, at the intergroup level, and more recently being on the intergroup board. And I hear there's one fellow that I recall that I sometimes hear say, I've been abstinent for X amount of time and I've been doing service for that same amount of time, that how there must be some correlation there. And I do really truly believe that service is what has kept me here this long. And so what are things like now? I'm going to have to talk fast now. I have experienced a lot in the last 5 years and have received a lot of gifts by working this wonderful program. Some of those, I'll just maybe basic things. I don't want to I'll call them basic things right now, but my body size is smaller. My clothes are smaller. I sleep better. I just overall feel better. In the past, 4 years, I think it's been, I have, walked not either 9 or 10 different 5Ks. Prior to that, I probably couldn't have walked 5 blocks. So that just feels like that's a huge accomplishment for me to be able to do that. I'm a better employee. I can focus better. I can concentrate. I am more productive. Prior to this program, I may have thought I was a good employee. But I sure spent a whole lot of time wondering and planning how I was going to get to the vending machine again without somebody noticing. I think I've become a kinder spouse. I've become a better mother. I have an adult son who has an addiction, and I think, me learning about my addiction with food has helped me better understand addiction in general, and maybe just being a better service to him in that way. I've learned to pray, and just learning how to talk to my higher power. And I have just have experiences where I know that my higher power has heard me and listened to me based on what has happened. I think one of the biggest things that or the biggest gifts that I've received is just the gift to be present today and to enjoy the moment as it is. Just actually over the weekend, these gifts still keep on giving. 5 years later, I still keep getting gifts by working this program. And I just kind of want to tell you quickly or close out here with experience that I had over the weekend. So in my backyard, there's a fence, and on the other side of the fence, so it'd actually be in the neighbor's yard, there is an apple tree. But most of that apple tree hangs over into our yard. So every fall, there's apples that fall from that tree. They fall into our yard. The apples aren't edible. They're not, I suppose they're edible, but they're not very good. So every time we have to cut the grass, we have to pick up the apples first. And it is super annoying to pick up the neighbor's apples every time we have to cut our own grass. And I think it was actually on Saturday, I looked out our back window, and I realized, sorry, about a friend who's joined me, looked out the back window and happened to see this apple tree in full bloom. It had these beautiful white flowers on it, and it was just filled with blossoms. And we've lived in our house for 16 years, and I think probably every year, each of those 16 years in the fall, I've been annoyed by the apples. I don't know that I've ever really noticed the apple blossoms before. And Saturday was the first time that I've ever noticed the apple blossoms in the spring. So even the last 4 years or whatever, being abstinent, I don't recall seeing those apple blossoms. And it was just amazing to me to see how beautiful those blossoms were. And I'm really hopeful that in the fall, when I have to pick up the apples off the ground, that what I will remember is the beautiful blossoms that I got to experience in the spring. And with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Beautiful, Sheila. Thank you.
Thanks, Sheila.
Thank you so much, Sheila, and congratulations.
Thank you, Sheila. Congratulations.
Yes, thank you, everyone.
And thank you. The floor is now open for 3-minute pitches or sharing. In HOW meetings, we share our experience, strength, and hope. No one is prohibited from sharing, but we ask that you focus on the solution. All pitches should be of a positive nature in which you share your growth and recovery. All other issues can be worked out over the phone or after the meeting. Would someone care to pitch? Please yourself. We have about 3 minutes.
Hey, all, it's Megan in Virginia. I'd pitch if that's okay.
Megan.
Hey, Megan.
Hi, Megan. Welcome.
Thank you. I have to just give a pitch. I want to give a pitch for the we of the program tonight and how essential that is for me and my program. It's been a rough few days here, and I just am so grateful for the fellowship that when I reach out and I'm at a really low place is willing to just listen and to hold me up and to remind me that this too shall pass and that there's a solution, and the solution is never the darn brownie. And that really, even as difficult as the past few days have been, that I know the solution is not the brownie today. And even if it does kind of try to sneak itself in there, it's just an amazing fellowship that we hold each other up when we have those times. And we're blessed to have it. And I think I can wrap up with that. So if there's somebody else who wants to pitch, they can. But thank you all for being there. And I pass.
Thank you, Megan. And we still have another minute or two if someone else would like to pitch.
Hi, I'm Nicholas. I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Nicholas.
Hi, Nicholas. Hi,
Nicholas.
I'll just quickly say that I'm pretty happy. I'm a satisfied customer on day number 23 of abstinence. And, it took me a little bit of time to get a dietitian and a sponsor last time, and that made me go south, but this time everything seemed to fall into place, and I guess I just had the willingness, the openness, and the honesty to to really try this program and give it a really good fair shot. And I think I'm going to continue, at least for today. So thank you all for helping to keep me abstinent.
Thank you, Nicholas.
Thanks, Nicholas.
Welcome.
I also want to thank you for allowing me to be your leader for this meeting today. I also want to thank all those who participated, especially our speaker, Sheila, who offered so much of herself.
Woohoo!
Woo, Sheila!
Way to go,
Sheila.
Yeah.
Thank you,
Sheila.
May we please have the reading of Just for Today?
Hey, this is Alyssa, a compulsive overeater, food addict from Seattle.
Hey, Alyssa.
Okay, just for today. Just for today, we'll try to live through this day only and not tackle my whole life problem at once. I can do something for one day that would appall me if I felt I had to keep it up for a lifetime. Just for today, I will be happy. This assumes to be true what Abraham Lincoln said, that most folks are as happy as they make up their minds to be. Just for today, I will adjust myself to what is and not try to adjust everything to my own desires. I will take my luck as it comes and fit myself to it. Just for today, I will try to strengthen my mind. I will study. I will learn something useful. I will not be a mental loafer. I will read something that requires effort, thought, and concentration. Just for today, I will exercise my soul in three ways. I will do somebody a good turn and not get found out. If anyone knows of it, it will not count. I will do at least two things I don't want to do just for exercise. I will not show anyone that my feelings are hurt. They may be hurt, but today I will not show it. Just for today, I will be agreeable. I will look as well as I can, dress becomingly, talk low, act courteously, criticize not one bit, not find fault with anything, and not try to improve or regulate anybody except myself. Just for today, I will have a program. I may not follow it exactly, but I will have it. I will save myself from two pests, hurry and indecision. Just for today, I will have a quiet half hour all by myself and relax. During this half hour sometime, I will try to get a better perspective of my life. Just for today, I will be unafraid. Especially, I will not be afraid to enjoy what is beautiful and to believe that as I give to the world, so the world will give to me. With that, I pass.
Thank you, Alyssa. We'd also like to thank our skilled interpreters for helping us to reach even more people who struggle with this disease. Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, interpreters.
Thank you.
Closing statement. To those who are still new to the program, we remind you that all that was said here today should safely remain here as we respect and cherish our tradition of anonymity. We also assure you that following the program will get your weight off or on. Abstinence will remove the cravings. Our way of life will remove compulsion in time and give you contentment in all areas of life. After a moment of meditation, will all those who wish to please join in to say the Serenity Prayer. Those attending virtually, please unmute yourselves. Let's pray for those who are still suffering. Okay. God.
God.
Grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change.
I cannot change
the things I
cannot change.
The wisdom
I can give to know.
I will. Amen.
Amen.
Keep coming back. It works.
It's your work.
Thanks, everyone.
And thank you.
Congratulations.
Thanks for leading, Ruth.
Thanks.
Thank you for leading, Ruth.
Thanks
for timing, Megan.
Thank you, Ruth.
Hey, Jody. Welcome back.
Thank you. Hi, Lisa.
Hey guys, I know some of the newcomers had questions. I have to get off and call my sponsor, but I hope there are folks who will be able to answer if folks have questions they want to ask.
Yeah, I can stay on for a few minutes if anybody else can stay on for a few minutes too.
I can stay on as well.
All right, love you guys. See you next week.
Have a good night.
Have a good night, everyone.
Bye. Bye.
Is there anybody, any newcomers that have any questions or would like more information?
Yeah, this is Jocelyn. How I am just wondering how to get started. This is my first call. What is the next step?
Oh, hey, Jocelyn, welcome. We're glad you're here. I think, did you take any phone numbers tonight from the chat?
I didn't. I gave my phone number.
Okay. Let's see. So there's a couple things. We have a website. You can go to the oahow.com, oahowphonemeetings.com. You can get a week care list. If you've given your phone number out, you certainly may get a few phone calls from folks. And I can give you my phone number. You can call me if you would like that.
Sure.
This is Megan. My phone number is 757-375-3102. I'm Eastern Standard Time, and I take calls from about 7:30 in the morning till about 9 at night. Liz or Sheila, do you have anything to add?
Hey, Jocelyn, this is Liz A., and I could give you my number as well.
Sure, thank you.
It's 386-852-9209. And okay. I take calls until 10 p.m. Eastern. How did you find out about this meeting?
I had a session with Mary Fushi from the SHIFT program this morning.
Uh-huh. So did you get the phone numbers of other meetings that you could call into to listen to how things work?
She just told me to go to the OA How phone meetings website and find a meeting and so I did.
Yep. So I would also get on as many meetings as you can and just listen in, kind of lurk, and you'll hear a lot about how the program works. That would be my suggestion. But give me a call and give Megan a call. What about you, Sheila? What do you have?
So Jocelyn, this is Sheila, and I actually grabbed your phone number, so I do have your phone number, but I'll give you mine as well, just in case you want to call me. I'm in Minnesota in the Central Time Zone, and my number is 612-845-3604, and I take calls from about 7 a.m. until 9 p.m.
Okay, thank you.
And Jocelyn, where are you? Where are you located?
I'm in Colorado, so I'm on Mountain Time.
Okay. So Jocelyn, if you send us a note at mnhowlive@gmail.com, which is the group's email, we'll get you a week care list from this meeting. I don't know if you put your email address in the chat, which is how we distribute.
I did not do that.
Yeah, so if you send the note to mnhowlive@gmail.com, just say, okay, can you send me the week care list? We'll get you a copy.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
You guys are so nice. Thank you, everyone.
Welcome, Jocelyn. Keep coming back.
For joining us. Joining us. Hopefully come back next week.
I will.
Other newcomers have questions?
Yeah, there were a couple other newcomers that were in the chat. Is there anybody else?
I don't know if Whitney or Karen are still on, or Michelle. Or Nancy. Okay.
All right. Well, if there's nobody else that needs anything, we can, you know, always say goodnight and go to bed.
I have a question, Sheila. I need to know your skincare routine. You look fabulous, but I'll talk about that with you another time.
You know, Liz, here's probably what it is. I haven't put on makeup in like 2 months because I've been working from home since March 15th. I have makeup on tonight. I thought I would.
Okay. Congrats again.
Yeah, congratulations. So glad I got to hear your talk tonight. We have a lot of anniversaries coming up, actually.
Yeah, the month of June is like filled. Yeah. It's going to be great. Like
anniversary month. Yes.
Nice. Yeah, very it's going nice. To be great.
I'm going to sign off, and I'll talk to you guys next time. Good night.
Okay, good night, everyone.
Good night.
Bye,
thank
everyone.
You.
Bye now.
Bye.
Have a good one, Jocelyn. See you later.
Thank you. You too. Good night.
Bye-bye.
Bye.